darkness run and hide. You bring the broken back to life. Only you can, only you can. You set me free from every chain. You fill my heart with songs of praise. Only you can, only you can. Jesus, you're the only reason that I'm even breathing. I am wide awake. My heart beats only for your glory. My hands reach up for you to hold me. My soul sings while you are holy. My feet dance to your rhythm, to your rhythm. Every beat is calling. Every beat is calling out your name. You left the glory of your throne to bring this runaway back home. Only you can, only you can. You give me love, you give me life, you keep me dancing through the night.
Welcome to The Well. My name is Emily, and I'm excited to welcome you this morning to The Well Online. We're really excited that you have taken time out of your day to worship with us. The Well is a service of First United Methodist Church, which is here in Long Beach, Mississippi. And we know that many of you guys are local. You're worshiping with us because you're part of our family already. But we also recognize that we might have a lot of other people who are joining us from all across the country, maybe other states, maybe people who have visited The Well, maybe who moved away, or people who are just checking us out because you're a friend of a friend. No matter how you got here, we're really excited that you're here with us this morning, and we hope that you feel God's presence no matter where you are and no matter who you're with. We believe that by God's presence and His peace and His Spirit with us, that even though we're all separate maybe and maybe alone by ourselves, that He's going to bring us together to worship as one this morning. I'm going to say a prayer and then talk a little bit more, and then we're going to sing. Will you guys pray with me? So God, we thank you for bringing us together today. And we pray that we'd be united, even if we're far apart. And God, that your presence would bring us peace, and that your presence would bring us hope, and that your presence would encourage us. God, and that we would be able to worship you this morning with one spirit and with one mind. And God, many of us have had okay weeks or good weeks, and many of us are feeling discouraged or distressed, God, or maybe even afraid. And I just pray that you would meet us where we're at. That you take away all those feelings, God, and you would just replace them with a hope that is steadfast in you, that you'd remind us that you're faithful and that you're with us no matter what. God, we thank you for meeting us here today, and we just pray that the way that we worship is a blessing to you and that it makes your name more well known all across the world. It's in your great name that we pray. Amen. I just wanted to say a couple things about the song that we're getting ready to sing. This song is a song that I have really grown to love. If you've been around the Well for a while, it's probably not a secret to you that that Ben and I both love country music, and the song that we're getting ready to sing started out as a country music song. I had a mentor who used to call this, used to say that this song was written by the late great theologian Hank Williams Sr. And I'm not quite sure that Hank Williams Sr. ever really considered himself a great theologian. In fact, I think he probably considered himself to have lived the lines of this song. I frankly know a lot about his life, but I do understand that he had a rather tumultuous relationship with alcohol, and that he probably was a person who considered himself to live and to struggle with darkness. And the line that we open the song with says, "I wandered so aimless, life filled with sin." And I wonder, perhaps, did Mr. Hank Williams write this song out of his experience? And did he feel aimless? Did he feel like his life was filled with sin? The song takes a turn, and it brings us out of that darkness, out of that feeling of aimlessness or hopelessness, and it brings us into the light. The song's called "I Saw the Light." And I think that it's really cool to be singing this song today because the scripture that we're going to read from in a little bit tells a story of a couple of guys who weren't necessarily physically blind. They weren't necessarily walking in a physical darkness, but they weren't able to see Jesus for who he was. And in one moment, it was like they saw the light. They had clarity and they knew who Jesus really was. Ben's going to talk a lot more about that story in just a few minutes. But until he does, will you guys join with us and sing "I Saw the Light"? Service, we've come to the time where we normally give our offerings back to God, and we want to invite you to do that today. You're invited to give, and you're invited to be generous. And you guys know you have been so generous already, and we're so grateful for the ways that you've already been giving. You can give online through our website, or the link on our Facebook page. Or if you'd rather, you can mail in a gift to P.O. Box 375 in Long Beach, Mississippi, and our zip code is 39560. Before we pray for our offerings, I just want to speak a word over us, a scripture over us, for people who might be feeling discouraged or feeling like God is far away. I feel like in this new world that we're living in, that the news changes constantly. We're constantly getting updates about what we can and can't do, where we can and can't go, things that are safe for us or not safe for us. And this week in Mississippi, it was announced that our schools will not be reopening their buildings, that learning will hopefully continue through online ways or through books and instruction that way, but that we won't actually be sending our students to class at our schools. And I know for a lot of people, this was really discouraging and maybe really disappointing. And you're thinking about the things that you might be missing out on as the semester was coming into its close, for all of the experiences that you might have been looking forward to that aren't going to happen the way that we thought they were. And I just want to give you permission to feel disappointed about that, or to feel discouraged about things that aren't happening, whether you're a student or not, whether you have students that are in your home that go to school or not. It's okay to feel disappointed during this time, or to feel discouraged. And I wanted to read you a verse from the Bible, hopefully that doesn't just come across as us throwing out a Bible verse and kind of looking over your feelings, but one that kind of validates your feelings of disappointment and reminds you that God is with you. This was one that I needed to hear to remind me that God is not far away, that God is with us. This is Psalm 34, verses 17 through 19. And it says, "The Lord hears his people when they call to him for help. He rescues them from all their troubles. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted. He rescues those whose spirits are crushed. The righteous person faces many troubles, but the Lord comes to the rescue each time." That's what I hope that you'll remember in this time, no matter what you're feeling. If you're brokenhearted, that it's okay to be brokenhearted, but to remember that God is always with you, that he's going to rescue you if you're feeling crushed or disappointed or distressed. We're going to pray for our offering, and then we're going to sing a song that continues that reminder that we're not alone, that we can trust in God, and that he is always with us no matter what. Let's pray, and then we'll sing again. So God, we pray this morning that you would take the offerings that we give to you, and that you would multiply them, and that through our church that we'd be able to do a great work in our community, God, in our state, even across our world, that we would be able to reach out to people, even people who are brokenhearted or distressed or feeling crushed, God, and that we could take your name to them, that we could tell them your story and tell them your good news and remind them that God is with them, that you are always near, you're not far away. Even if we can't see you, God, you're still present with us. And so, God, I just pray that would be our reminder this morning, God, and that we would make that our mission as we bring offering to you, that we would go out and tell others about your good news and who you are and how much you love them. We're so grateful for Jesus. He's our example of how to do that, how to give ourselves away so that other people might know who you are. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
When this life is overwhelmed, I feel like giving up, I will cling to all you've promised. It will always be enough. When the world around me crumbles and it's hard to understand, I will run to you, my shelter. I am safe within your hands. Oh, you are my help forever. I will not fear. God, you are with me. I know you're near. When I'm broken in this silence, I can hear you whispering. not alone here in these trials. I will hold you faithfully. Oh, you are my help forever. I will not fear that you are with me. I know you're near. You'll never leave me. I will trust in you alone. And when my heart and strength have failed me, my God, you won't. Your name is mine.
Hey, good morning. Welcome. Thank you for joining us again today. Thank you for joining us last week. We had a great Easter celebration, given the circumstances. We appreciate you tuning in. Appreciate you commenting and sharing that for others to see and to be a part of. And thank you to our worship team who put together some great music. Thank you again to Emma Holston for giving us that monologue of Mary as she went down to look for Jesus at the tomb. Man, it was a good Sunday. It was actually a great Sunday. Given our limitations, given our circumstances, it's always a good day when we celebrate that Jesus is alive. And that's what we're going to do today. Today we continue on in that story. And so if you remember last week, Mary Magdalene, went down to the tomb looking for Jesus early on that Sunday morning. And she initially did not find him. Instead, she encountered two angels. She went back. She got Peter and some others. John ran with them down there. And it was after they had left that she actually encountered Jesus when he revealed himself to her outside the tomb. She thought he was the gardener to begin with. And she asked him, "Where have you put my Lord?" And then Jesus revealed himself to her. And we talked about that last week. I encourage you to go back, check that out. It's still here on our Facebook page if you didn't get a chance to see that. But today we pick up right at the end of that story. In fact, we're going to look at an account from Luke. Luke is another gospel writer. Last week we looked at John's account. Today we're going to look at Luke's account. And Luke gives us a similar account from about Mary going to the tomb. And then we pick up with sort of a later in the day part of the story. Now, before we do that, I want to say thank you to all of you who have tuned in during our midweek check-ins. John on Tuesday nights at 6:30, Lori at 10 a.m. on Wednesday, and then Emily and I check in on Thursdays at 6:30. And so just this past week, during our conversations that we were having, I asked you all to tell me the name of a song. I was looking for song titles that had to do with a road. Today's story, where we pick up where Mary leaves off, we read a story about a road that leads from Jerusalem to Emmaus. And I had yet to come up with a sermon title for my sermon. And so I thought, hey, maybe you guys would be able to give me a song title about a road, and we'll just see if it might fit. So here are some of those suggestions. We had "God Bless the Broken Road." Not bad. That could work. You guys didn't know that's why you were giving them, but I thought it'd be fun to ask and then just kind of measure it up. "Country Roads." That's not a bad one either. "Take Me Home to the Place Where I Belong." I could sing, except that I'm not sure that Emmaus or Jerusalem either were in West Virginia. "Somewhere Down the Road." It's an Amy Grant song from back when. "Long and Winding Road." "Life is a Highway." Now, I saw that one. That's a really good one. "Life is a Highway." I love that song, especially in cars. I think John Kaufman is the one who recommended that. "King of the Road," which is a fun song to sing, right? Especially if you're on a road trip. I don't know, just kind of old school country. That's not a bad one. In fact, that might be the best one for a sermon title, "King of the Road." Because what you're going to find out here in a minute as we talk about this, you may already kind of know the story of this road that goes to Emmaus. Two guys are walking. Jesus walks with them. They don't even know it's him. "King of the Road." See? Oh, yeah. You're with me. I got you. And then someone else, I don't know, John Cripple, might have suggested "Highway." No, we're not going to do that one. But anyway, no. So I don't know about you, but I love road trips. I love good music. I love heading somewhere. The longer I spend in this house, the more I am longing for a good road trip. And I guess technically, even within the bounds of quarantine, you can get out and drive around and you can go somewhere. But I prefer my road trips to actually, I know it's all about the journey, but I prefer a really cool destination. And so you really can't, there's no place to really land right now and camp out or go to the beach or whatever. And so we're gonna road trip later. But it got me to thinking about this as I was preparing for this sermon and this story that Luke shares with us. It got me to thinking about road trips and how much fun they can be. But it also helped me to remember, you know, I've taken some really difficult trips. Whether it be to a funeral or to go to visit someone who was sick or maybe near death. Those are not fun journeys. These two guys that we read about in this story, as they're walking along this road from Jerusalem to Emmaus, they were not having a good time. Let me read you the story so that you can kind of get a sense for where they are. So we're going to read from Luke chapter 24. We're going to begin reading in verse 13. Now this comes right after we read Luke's account of the resurrection, where we see that that some women went down, they discover that the tomb is empty and Jesus is not there. And where we pick up today says the same day. In fact, verse 13 begins that same day. So today, as we read this, we're still in Resurrection Sunday. We're still celebrating Jesus rising from the dead. We are. But you got to understand, everyone who was around there who didn't get to see the risen Lord Jesus, and even those who saw him, Peter, John, they were still really confused because they didn't understand the whole death and tomb part. It had took them completely by surprise. Even though Jesus had prepared them, they were not ready for that. As we talked about last week, sometimes our expectation and understanding are way too small and way too narrow to be able to see and to get the full picture and the full scope of what God is up to in our lives. And so let's hear this story. So that same day, two of Jesus' followers were walking to the village of Emmaus. It was 7 miles from Jerusalem. Now, Jerusalem was where everything had kind of went down, where Jesus was tried and convicted, where he had been crucified and buried, and where they had where the women and Peter and the rest of those had seen him alive and had discovered that he had been risen. All that's in Jerusalem. Well, these two followers of Jesus were headed out of Jerusalem. They were leaving town, and as we read a little bit further, we're going to discover that that they were sad, that their heads were kind of downcast, and they were frustrated, they were confused. You see, they had even gotten reports that Jesus wasn't in the tomb anymore, but it just wasn't clicking for them. Their expectation and understanding of what Jesus was and should have done, was going to do and should have done, didn't match up with what actually happened. And so they were headed back home, presumably back to Emmaus, go back to normal life, right? That same day, two of Jesus' followers were walking to the village of Emmaus, 7 miles from Jerusalem. As they walked along, they were talking about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things, Jesus himself suddenly came and began walking with them. But God kept them from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing so intently as you walk along?" They stopped short, sadness written across their faces. Then one of them, Cleopas, replied, "You must be the only person in Jerusalem who hasn't heard about all the things that have happened here the last few days." "What things?" Jesus asked. "The things that happened to Jesus, the man from Nazareth," they said. "He was a prophet. He did powerful miracles. And he was a mighty teacher in the eyes of God and all the people. But our leading priests and other religious leaders handed him over to be condemned to death, and they crucified him. We had hoped that he was the Messiah who had come to rescue Israel. This all happened about 3 days ago. Then some women from our group of his followers, were at the tomb early this morning, and they came back with an amazing report. They said his body was missing, and they had seen angels who told them Jesus is alive. Some of our men ran out to see, and sure enough, his body was gone, just as the women had said. Then Jesus said to them, 'You foolish people. You foolish people, you find it so hard to believe all that the prophets wrote in the scriptures. Wasn't it clearly predicted that the Messiah would have to suffer all these things before entering into his glory?' Then Jesus took them through the writings of Moses and all the prophets, explaining from all the scriptures the things concerning himself. By this time they were nearing Emmaus and the end of their journey. Jesus acted as if he were going on, but they begged him, 'Stay the night with us since it's getting late.' So he went home with them. As they sat down to eat, he took bread and blessed it. Then he broke it, gave it to them. Suddenly, their eyes were opened and they recognized him. And at that moment, he disappeared. They said to each other, 'Didn't our hearts burn within us as he talked with us on the road and explained the scriptures to us?' And within the hour, they were on their way back to Jerusalem, where they found the 11 disciples and the others who had gathered with them, and who said, "The Lord has really risen. He appeared to Peter." This is an incredible account that Luke gives us. These two guys we know from the story, one of them is named Cleopas. The other, we don't even get his name, but what we can assume is that neither one of them, we know Cleopas was not one of the 12, but was probably at the same level of, say, Mary Magdalene. They had been following Jesus sort of at a, you know, one level removed from the 12. And they had seen Jesus, they knew Jesus, and they had built a whole bunch of hope up inside of them that he was the Messiah. That he was going to rescue them from oppression, and he was going to deliver them. And then he came and he died. And that was not at all what they were expecting. It just didn't add up. And so once the show was over, they headed back home to Emmaus. They said, well, it was a good run. He was a good teacher. He was a great prophet. He was a miracle worker. He was all those things. But they packed it up to head on back home. And so the story tells us that as they set out down this road, as they set down this lonely 7 miles, probably would have taken, I don't know, depending on how fast you're walking, if you're in a hurry, if you really just don't even want to get where you're going or don't have anywhere to go, it might have taken longer, but probably around 2 hours. So a decent little journey. And they set out, their heads were down. They had gotten a report, as the story tells us. They had gotten a report from the women and from Peter that Jesus was not in the tomb anymore, but it just wasn't clicking for them. And so they went on back home. But it says as they set out on this journey, a man came and joined with them. Now, Luke lets us in on the secret. Hey, it's Jesus. But this gentleman comes and begins to walk with them, and he asks them, "What are y'all talking about so intently?" Now, I don't know exactly how travel would have worked back then, but I would have to assume if you've got a 2-hour journey, it wasn't like there were 40 exits along the way, and so you're all going different places. If you're on this road and you're headed that direction, you're probably headed to Emmaus, especially if it's later in the evening. That probably was the most reasonable next stop. And so this guy is walking along, so I'm assuming it would have been fair for them to have conversation. What else are you going to do, right? There's no radio. There's no cell phone to play on. Like, you know, there were no creature comforts for the journey. And so Jesus begins a conversation. He sees that they're having a very intense conversation. He says, what are y'all talking about? And they look at Jesus and they say to him, you're asking us what we're talking about. Is there anything else to discuss? It would kind of be like you and I walking into a Lowe's or a Home Depot hours before a hurricane hits, looking at the frantic people and just asking the question, like, what is the big deal? People would look at you like you were stone crazy and say, have you not heard? Have you not seen? Jim Cantore is down the road and we're all going to blow away, right? It would be kind of like even now that if someone said, what do you mean when you say COVID? What does that even mean? Like, are you living under a rock, Jesus, they say to Jesus? Do you have no ideas? I mean, this was a really big deal, this crucifixion. I mean, the whole place was in an uproar. And so this stranger comes and begins to walk with them and ask them, what are y'all talking about? And they're like, we're talking about Jesus. The dude that came, like, we thought he was the hero. He was going to be, Messiah. We really thought he was the one. And then he died. So naturally, I mean, he's still a great teacher. He was a miracle worker. Like, all of those things are true. But in our mind, he was going to rescue us in a certain way. And so when he didn't do that, when he died, he wasn't a Messiah. Good teacher, great guy, man of God, whatever. All those things, but not a savior. Not a savior. Saviors don't die. Saviors live. And he died. Now, the stranger, remember, knows the whole story. He wrote it. He lived it. Jesus begins to have a conversation with them. And so he says, as if he didn't know anything that was going on, then all of a sudden, I find it interesting, that all of a sudden he looks at them and he says, you fool, Now, at this point, surely that not that they're on to that it's Jesus, but they know then that he knows more than he led on to start with. He says, "You foolish people, you find it so hard to believe all that the prophets wrote in the scriptures. Wasn't it clearly predicted?" In other words, didn't you know ahead of time that the Messiah would have to suffer all the things, all these things before he entered into his glory? And then we read in verse 27, I think this is my favorite part of the whole story. I love the part where they sat down and Jesus breaks the bread and they're like, "Oh, it's you." Because I think there's incredible value in recognizing that Jesus is made known to us when he gives thanks, blesses, and breaks the bread. I think that's a beautiful, beautiful picture of Jesus giving himself for us. It's a beautiful image for when we celebrate Holy Communion. But as I begin to study this and walk down this road myself with these gentlemen, I think my favorite part is right here in verse 27 when he says, when we read, "Then Jesus took them through the writings of Moses and all the prophets, explaining from all the scriptures the things concerning himself." What would it have been like in that moment to be walking down that road? The stranger joins you, says, "What are y'all talking about?" And you're like, "Wait, what do you mean?" And you begin, so you kind of brief him on it. "Well, there was this guy named Jesus. He was a hero. You know, we thought he was going to be the one who was the Messiah. Great guy, just didn't make it." And then this stranger looks at you and says, didn't you guys, wasn't he supposed to suffer like that in order to be exalted? Like, isn't that how he said it was going to work?" And then he began to tell them and give them all the examples all the way through scripture. I cannot imagine what it must have been like to walk with Jesus as he himself unpacks the scripture and just explains and provides for them all of the connection. He puts this dot with that dot and he says, when Moses said this, he was talking about this very moment. How incredible that would have been to be part of that moment when Jesus, though he is hidden, and we're going to talk about that in a little bit. I remember the first time I read this a long time ago, and I read that God kept them from seeing Jesus, and I thought, what kind of crazy joke is that? But physically, they're kept from recognizing this is Jesus, and I believe that is an incredible gift from God himself, who keeps them from seeing him physically because they would have been so enamored with this risen Lord now that they couldn't make the connection. And so he reaches to reveal Jesus in their hearts before in their eyes. And so Jesus begins to explain himself to these two gentlemen, to reveal himself to them that they might receive in their hearts what is actually present in front of their eyes even before they knew it. Scripture tells us he breaks it down for them. I don't know how long that took. They had, again, a two-hour journey, 7 miles there, walking, and Jesus is just unpacking. And I have to imagine that, as they tell us later, their hearts were burning as the truth of God was revealed to them through Jesus telling them what all had happened. And so they get to where they're going, and it's time for them to exit off over here. Jesus, or the stranger, I should say, was continuing on down the road. And so they would have none of it. Now, some would say they were simply hospitable and didn't want him to continue walking late into the night. Who knows where the next exit would be? But I have to believe that after reading the rest of the story, that their hearts were burning such that they were receiving wisdom and insight that they longed and yearned for, especially in this difficult moment where they didn't understand things and thought the whole world was coming apart and it wasn't working out. And so they were receiving this life, this gift of life, as Jesus pours out wisdom on them and they say to the stranger, "Why don't you come stay with us? Why don't you come camp out here for a while? We'd love for you to stay overnight. Stay with us and get back on the road in the morning. You hadn't lost anything." And so Jesus agrees. And the scripture tells us that he sits down, and it was in that moment that he breaks the bread. that he is fully revealed to them in their sight. And they see that it's Jesus. Now, another kind of crazy piece to this is immediately after they recognize that it's Jesus, he's gone. Like, boom, flash, he's not there. Which is just kind of, I don't know, why would you do that? But he did. Because see, it wasn't about lingering with Jesus that was most important. What we read is they actually, in that moment, after they had just gotten finished telling Jesus, you shouldn't continue on walking this late at night, you should come and stay with us, get some rest. They immediately leave the table and they head back to Jerusalem, backtracking some 7 miles, 2 hours trip back just to tell somebody, it's for real. It's no joke. He's alive. Everything, and we get it now. The light bulb has gone off. All of those things he said about himself, they were true. And he did have to suffer. And he did have to take the shame and the guilt. And they did have to bruise him and crush him. And all of those things that we read about in the Old Testament, that's all true. And it really, he is the Messiah. And so they go back and they tell the others. It's an incredible story. I mean, this is to me, and I don't know if it's just Luke, but like, you know, this is going back over the way that he tells the story of the prodigal son. You know, he gives us this account where Jesus shares the story of the lost son, and the way that Luke writes it is just, it draws you in. And I feel so drawn into this story. But there's so much inside of here that's not just, oh man, what a nice guy. Jesus shows himself to them. That's great. Now we should all look for Jesus. What I think we see in this moment, there's some theological truths in here, some principles that I believe we can live by. And I want to share them to you as we kind of wrap this up. I want us to walk away with something useful, tangible, that might even be able to help us in the season that we're walking in right now ourselves. I don't know about you, but now that you know, we're still in quarantine, and so it's kind of hard to not be reminded of that on a moment by moment basis. And I feel like even once, you know, we get beyond this and things begin to open, we're going to feel the effects of this pandemic for a long time, from the economy to you know, I was thinking the other day about domestic violence. I mean, people are stuck in their house and you know, pressures are coming from all different directions. We've got some difficult days even ahead of us. We're not crossing the easy mark just yet. And so I want to offer up some thoughts from this story to hopefully give us some hope as we look at the principles behind this story. So here's a couple thoughts that I have, and I wanted to share with you. Number one, here's a takeaway. Don't miss Jesus. Let me explain. Let me unpack that for a moment. Don't miss Jesus. See, the disciples were walking, and we read that God kept them from seeing Jesus. But I also wonder, even if God had not sort of shielded their eyes, would they have been so intent? Because they already missed him one time. They already missed him once. When he made all those predictions, when he followed through, they had already missed him once. And so even had God not shielded their eyes, I'm not so convinced they would have missed him a second time. Don't miss Jesus. Our disappointment from our failed expectations of what God ought to be doing in our life, or what we think God ought to do in a situation, sometimes our failed expectations, when those the things that we hope for or think ought to happen, when they don't happen, it sort of clouds our view, and we are so blind to see the work that God is doing in our midst. And so I would encourage you, as you walk along this narrow path, to not miss Jesus. He's closer than you think. In fact, that brings me to my next takeaway. My next point is this: that just because you can't see Jesus doesn't mean he's not near. Not only do we see that in this story, in that Jesus is walking right beside them and they don't even know it, but we could even take just a couple hours before, when Mary Magdalene is at the tomb and she thinks he's a gardener. Just because you don't see Jesus doesn't mean he's not there. Doesn't mean he's not actively at work in your life. Just because it seems like you are in a desolate and dark and dreary place doesn't mean that Jesus isn't with you. He's closer than you think. Withholding their recognition, God withholding their recognition of Jesus, God keeping them from seeing him, was actually a gracious gift from God. I believe that hiding and shielding their eyes from seeing Jesus allowed their hearts to receive the fullness of what he was teaching them and reminding them. And I believe that is a gracious gift from our Lord. I think sometimes even when we walk through difficult circumstances, when we can't understand why this is happening, man, what would it look like if we looked at those situations as, okay, I can't see where I'm going, God, I don't know what you're up to. It makes absolutely no sense. But I want to trust you. I want to trust that you know best, that you're going to do best. And so I put my faith in you. Sometimes keeping us from seeing the full picture is actually helpful for us to build faith in the truth of God's word and his promises. One other thing I think is important for us to take away is that God is gracious. Not only gracious in his gift to keep us from seeing all of the details and intricacies of what God is doing at times, but I think one of the clearest ways to see in this moment that God is incredibly gracious is that he walks with two dudes and explains to them. Jesus walks with them and unpacks the truth of the gospel for them. And ultimately for us, because we're reading about it in his word. Our God is gracious, and it is his desire that we connect the gospel, that we receive the good news of salvation that comes in and through Jesus. And it's amazing the extent at which God will go to reach those who are farthest from them. And the gospel, the written gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, the accounts of Jesus give us multiple stories, multiple witnesses to God's gracious work to draw us toward him. And this is my final thought. I told you, I think it was verse 27 is really standing out to me in this story today. That Jesus walks with them and unfolds and reveals the truth of God's word about Jesus. Friends, you and I have an opportunity today and every day to have the truth of God's word revealed to us by Jesus through the power and the work of the Holy Spirit. Don't miss this. This might be the most important thing, the most useful, the most helpful thing you hear today. Is that you and I, because Jesus in John chapter 14, go back and read in John chapter 14, Jesus promises the Holy Spirit. He's prepping the disciples saying, I'm going to leave. You're not going to understand it, but I'm leaving. But I'm going to give you an advocate. The Father will send the advocate on my behalf to be with you. The Holy Spirit will live within you. He will teach you. He will remind you of everything that I have shared with you. In other words, he will walk with you down that long and painful road and once again reveal to you the truth about Jesus. Friends, you and I have the gift of the Holy Spirit in our lives that helps to reveal the truth about who God is to us as we read the scriptures. And so, as much as I long to walk that road with Jesus, because I have this, I can open up the Word of God, and you can do this too. We can open up the Word of God and the Holy Spirit in an incredibly powerful and supernatural way meets us on this road that you and I are on, this road of life. And he reveals Jesus to us. He reveals salvation. He reveals God's plan and God's purpose for us along the way. What an incredible gift. What an incredible blessing that the God of the universe would take up residence in my life and in yours, simply to reveal to us the truth about God. What a blessing. I don't know what road you're on. I know right now for all of us, It's a road that ain't going very far because we're stuck here at the house, right? But whatever road that you're on, wherever life is leading you, I want to promise you this. Jesus is not far from you. His Spirit is in your heart. And God wants to reveal Himself to you through the power and the work of the Holy Spirit because Jesus gave Himself up for us. Died, was buried, rose back to life, and has sent, the Father has sent on His behalf the gift of the Holy Spirit. We're headed that direction. In fact, I want to invite you to tune in next week. We are on a journey. You see, in the church, we celebrate Easter, and then 50 days later, actually 50 days later from the Passover, we celebrate Pentecost. That's the day in which we as the church celebrate the gift of God's Holy Spirit, where He pours out His Spirit upon all humanity or upon the believers to receive power and all the things that Jesus promised. We receive that. And so between now and Pentecost, each week we're going to walk through these different encounters that Jesus has with His disciples, preparing them for that great day just around the corner where He makes true on His promise to give us His Holy Spirit. Thank you again for tuning in with us. We're praying for you. We love you. We miss you. Long for the day when we can be together again. But until then, know that as you walk along, you are not alone. God is with you. His Holy Spirit dwells within you and reveals Christ to you. God bless you. See you next week.